Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem. We continue to hear such heartfelt messages and letters from you, our viewers. It is an encouragement to us to hear how the Christian Worship Hour is a blessing in your life. Recently, we heard from a viewer in Nebraska. He said, "I want you to know how the messages from Pastor Salem are so comforting in this world of confusion. You preach the true word. I love the new song. I pass it out to my friends. One thing is for sure, Jesus is Lord. Praise his holy name now and forever." God bless all of you for keeping Pastor Salem's ministry going. Today, Dad is going to share a timeless message of victory and hope entitled, "I'm Not Afraid Anymore." We hope you will be encouraged by today's message and service, and God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has gone by, and the Lord has tarried, but one of these weeks, he's going to come again, and won't that be something? But in the meantime, we'll worship him, we'll serve him, we'll get the message out to everyone we can, and we'll serve him till he comes again and tells us to stop. So we just want to thank you all for joining us today. And we're looking at Psalm 95, the opening verses of that psalm. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Heavenly Father, we just rejoice that we can come and kneel in your presence and bend down in your presence. We're so thankful that you're mindful of us and that even though you're so great and has made all things, and by you all things consist or hold together, yet you're mindful of each one of us individually. Maybe nobody else knows us in this world, Lord, but you know us, and furthermore, you love us. And so we just thank you that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we can serve you because you have a work for every one of us to do. Bless us in this service. And Lord, we pray that in this service, you'll comfort your people, those having troubles, and you'll help those outside of Christ, those who are still in the kingdom of darkness, to come to the light and come to Jesus. This is your service. We'd gladly give it into your hands and keeping. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank is with us, been with us since the day we started. God bless you, Hank. And he's going to sing in the sweet by and by. God bless you, brother.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, We will offer our tributes of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Well, amen to that. God bless you, Hank. Thanks a lot. It sounded like he's almost there singing that song. And say, we've got a lot of people over there, and we're going to have more, because I know in this service, a lot of you are going to open your heart to Jesus. You're going to join us over there. Oh, that'll be a great thing. St. John says it so beautiful. He says, you can't put it into words. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard all those things that God has prepared for those who love him. And, I just think of so many relatives I have and friends and loved ones I have over there, and they've seen it all, and they're way ahead of me, and I'm jealous of them. But I'll get my chance when the Lord is ready. Not until, not unless, but that's just the way it is. But that's, we want others to join us. We want you to come to heaven with us. And so you're listening today, and just say to yourself, you haven't decided, you say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to do that today. Do it right during the sermon. Well, we have some letters. And oh, by the way, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 28, if you want to locate that. Have some wonderful letters, and I want to thank you for writing. We get about 100 letters a day on an average. And we read every one of them. Now, not all of them don't have letters in them. About half of them just have a check, and we're thankful for that. But anybody writes a letter, we read that letter. If it's a prayer request, we pray for you. And if it's a question, we'll give you an answer. It might be the wrong answer, but we'll give you an answer. We're just like those tour guides, you know, over in the Middle East. They never say they don't know. They never say they didn't know. They'll give you an answer. But we'll have the scripture, so that'll kind of help us, won't it? Tie it down. Well, all right, here's some letters. Bismarck, North Dakota. I have just had my 100th birthday, and I am jealous of her. I'm only 94, and here she is 100, and that isn't fair, but that's the way it is. I just had my 100th birthday, and I wish to share this with some needy ones. My family and friends came to open house. We had a great time. I'm so glad I can get you on my TV. You are so with the Bible. It is good to hear the old hymns I grew up with. My vision is not good anymore, and I can't drive. I live on a farm. My son is close. We serve the most blessed God. He may come soon. Let's be ready. A friend. Isn't that a delightful letter? From 100 years old. God bless this dear sister. And we're so glad she can be a part of our congregation when we are preaching the word and worshiping Jesus together. Someday we're going to see her face to face, and won't that be wonderful? Here's a letter from Lake City, Florida. I saw your show last Saturday and heard you say that suicide was not an automatic trip to hell. I'd like to learn more about how you're able to make this statement true through the Bible. Please send me a copy of your report and thank you sincerely. And so that's a great, because a lot of people think suicide is a straight trip to hell. But you get the Bible out and do a little reading. Now, I've written an article, if a Christian commits suicide, can he go to heaven? And I said, yes, he can. I've got 8 reasons, and didn't go to die and come back from the other world and with a special message. It's out of the Bible. 8 different scriptures teaching us that when Jesus paid for our sins, He paid for all of them all the way to glory. And so if you would like a copy, I'm going to give you the address right now, right off the bat, so you don't miss it. It's Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And it is 10 pages, so it's a pamphlet. And it costs us about $2, but we're just giving out, anybody that writes to you, send us a gift, whatever you can. And some of you, I know we'll get letters from prisoners. They won't be able to send anything. And we have people on Social Security, can't send much of anything. But there's others, and you pick up for that, and we're trusting the Lord for that. And we'll give you 8 reasons why we know that we're going to go to heaven. Now, I had a lady call me just a couple days ago, and I think it was Florida or Tennessee. I don't remember where it was. And she said, I don't agree with you that you said it's a good thing to commit suicide. And I said, well, sister, I wish you'd listen a little more closely when I'm preaching. But, you know, she's like most people. They don't listen. They just hear noise. But it is a sin. There's no question about it. Suicide is a sin. It's self-murder. So there's no other way to slice it. It's wrong. It's sinful. You ought not do it. But if you are a Christian and for some reason you commit suicide, you are born, you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and Savior, you will be in heaven. So you just write, and then if you got questions, write and let me know. And when you write, be sure to send a gift. Now here's one from Los Gatos, California. I watch you and hear and your sweet brothers and sisters from San Francisco every Sunday at noon. I especially want to thank you for providing closed captions. I'm totally deaf, no help at all from hearing aids. I'm 88 years old. I'm catching up with you, Dr. Salem. May God continue to bless you all. Love and prayers in Jesus. And that's a nice letter. Yes, we're glad we got that closed caption. And all over the world, we have closed caption, so you can get the words. Here's Augusta, Georgia. I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I have accepted Jesus Christ into my life and in need of more literature. Miracles happen every day, and you're truly one of them in my life. I thank you and pray God bless you always. Isn't that wonderful? So here's this, and this is a young lady, and she's written in now, and she's accepted Jesus. And that's what we want you all to do. And you know, it isn't hard. Don't make it difficult. You say, I don't know how to pray. Well, you don't need to pray. Don't get fancy and thee, thou, and all the rest of it. Just talk to Jesus and tell him, dear Jesus, I'm sinned against you. And he knows that, but he wants you to confess it. I've sinned against you, and I ask you, Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll turn from my sin. There's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. I'll turn from my sin the best I can and live for you. And then thank him in your own words. And I talked to a man one time, about a year or so now, and he didn't know anything about praying, but he prayed to accept Jesus. When he got done, he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. He said goodbye. What's wrong with that? Goodbye, amen, means goodbye, so be it. We're going on. So praise the Lord. Augusta, Georgia. Well, here's Cliff Crofton, Nebraska. After your service, I always pray that many will receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And I am so happy to hear this because this is what all you Christians ought to do all over the world. When I give the invitation, when I'm telling them how to accept the Jesus, and I'll do that maybe several times in a sermon as the Spirit moves me. And when I do that, you say, dear God, may the Holy Spirit be given power and may many come to you. Pray. Every time I give the invitation, you can help us in this work. Here is Fort Dodge, Kansas. Here's $40. I expect at least 40 souls will be won for Jesus, your brother in Jesus. Well, you know what, dear brother, here in Fort Dodge, I want to tell you something. Don't talk about 40 coming to Jesus. Talk about 40,000 or 400,000. We're all over the world, and when we preach that gospel, there's power in that gospel. And the Holy Spirit, he's custom made for every one of those people. And he talks to their heart. And when God talks to their heart, It's just like a hammer that breaks the walls down. It's like a sword that pierces to the very center of your heart. And it's like a light that exposes all of our sins and our needs. Oh, the Holy Spirit takes the word of God. So we aren't praying for 40. We're praying for 44,000. We're praying 4,000. We're praying for 40,000. We're praying for 100,000. They're all over the world coming to Jesus. And then this last letter that I want to share with you is sad in a way, and then it's a wonderful letter. It's from Caledonia, Missouri. And this man writes, Today I saw your telecast. You mentioned something that has troubled my heart ever since January 1962. Okay, 62, that's 53 years. He's had a burden on his heart. Now he's going to tell us what that is. A burden on his heart, 53 years. I saw your telecast and you mentioned something that has troubled my heart ever since January 1962. My dad hung himself then. I want to see him when I get to heaven. My dad was in World War II, left for dead with two bayonet holes through him, and he was captured by the Japanese. When the American forces overtook the island of New Guinea, he drug himself a mile to earn a Bronze Star and two Purple Hearts for his service. He and I were very, very close. And listen to this. He was the only man who said that he loved me. He said that at least once or more a day, one time or more a day. I was 12 years old then, and in the back of my mind, I wanted to be sure he didn't go to hell for ending his own life. He was saved early in life. Please send me any scripture you find on this matter. I'm on Social Security. I'll gladly send you a buck for any information on this matter. You know, when I read that, I feel so sorry and I feel so happy that I can tell, and I've already written, sent literature to this man the same day I got it. Yes, you'll see your dad. If you're a believer yourself, you'll see your dad. Because when you commit suicide, that sin is when you accept Jesus. So whether you commit suicide or whatever you do, that sin is paid. And I've got this little pamphlet. It's got 8 reasons out of the Bible. It isn't some dreams that I've had or something like that or somebody told me. It's scripture, 8 different scriptures. And you write to us, and here's your address. All of you can write in. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or else ChristianWorshipHour.com. Now, we send these out on a free will offering basis. They cost us, with postage, it cost us about $2 a piece. And I know we're going to get letters from prisoners that don't have $2 to send. And we're going to get people, here's a man on Social Security, and he's going to scrimp around and he's going to send a dollar. So some of you, but we just believe that it's something we need to get out because some people are mourning over, hear this, dear brother, 53 years he's wondering if his dad is in hell. And now when you read this booklet, you'll just read the Bible. That's all you need to do. Read what the Bible says. And you can go to bed with peace knowing, yes, my dad is safe. I had a lady called and she got after me and she says, you shouldn't say that, you know that. You shouldn't say that it was right to commit suicide. I've never said that. Suicide is a sin. It's a terrible sin. It's self-murder. But I want to just say just in passing, just so you get it, I have more respect for a suicide than I do a murderer. A suicide takes his own life. A murderer takes somebody else's life. I respect him more than the other. But it's all wrong. It's all sin. It's bad sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's the promise of God, Isaiah 1, verse 18. So you write to us here now if you want to help us. As a matter of fact, we need your help to carry on in our radio time, too, in our television time. We're worldwide on shortwave radio, and we're all over the world with television. And that costs a lot of money. And that's all right. We want to pay our way. Jesus Christ isn't a beggar for anybody. He'll pay his way just as good as the next man or better. But he needs God's people. And so you need to help us. You need to say, now, is that a service that I ought to support? Does God want me to support that service? And then if he says yes, and I hope he will. And if he says yes, but if it isn't his will, we don't want it. But if he says yes, then you say, how much? And then you say, that much? And just whatever he says, see, and they just do what God says. Then there'll be no problem. We'll carry on. We'll be just fine. And then if you wonder where the money goes, you can, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books, and they check how we spend our money. And we're all on the level, and you don't need to worry, and you don't need to one bit. One other thing I want to mention is we put out a little paper every month called The New Song. And it has a little Bible study in it, and it has some excerpts from letters that we get and so forth. The Bible study for the month of October is those who love God, those who love God, how we react when we love God. And it'll be, people use this for Sunday school, and they use it in nursing homes and a lot of things. You write to us, and we'll send it to you free and postpaid. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. You're going to give. We're going to praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for helping us and providing for our needs. We believe we're here because you call us to do it. And we believe if you call us to do it, you'll make the way for us to make it possible. So we thank you for all that's happening, all we're going to get, all we're going to do. Thank you to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Boy, do I love that song. And does she ever play it? Wish I could play like that, but I'll best stick with preaching. I don't do the best on that either, but I do better preaching than I do playing the piano and singing. I can tell you that for sure. Well, we're reading from Matthew chapter 28. And in our prayer, you know, every week we pray for another country. And we're going to pray for Africa. The Christians in Africa that are suffering, God bless them, poor dear people. They're our family, part of our family, the family of God. And we'll pray about that. But first we're going to read Matthew chapter 28, starting with the 16th verse. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, this is our command, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that's what we're doing the best way we know how. We're singing it, and we're preaching it, and we're teaching it. And people are responding because the wonderful Holy Spirit is taking your word and talking to hearts, and their people are responding. And we're helping to comfort your people. You told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And dear Jesus, that's what we're trying to do, to comfort your people today, some of them in hard places. Some of them in beds of sickness, some of them in total despair, some who are lonely. One, as one dear soul, dear saint wrote in and said that loneliness was the most terrible thing in her life. She didn't have anybody, but she has you, dear Jesus, and help her just to lean on you. And then we think of our brothers and sisters in Africa, Lord, and we just pray for them. We don't pray for those who have been martyred because they're in your presence and wearing the martyr's crown, but we pray for those who are left behind, the widows and the orphans and the little children. Oh, God, the sorrow they must have, the hardships they must have. And, oh, God, before the sun sets today, maybe they'll give their life. And we just wish those things wouldn't happen. But, Lord, you know why these things are happening, because of the wickedness of sin. But someday your son will come, and, oh, will he mete out justice then, and it'll all stop in its tracks, the evil Satan and all of his followers and all that have his spirit. So we commit them into your hands. Now this service, Lord, it's your service. Use it to bless people. Use it to honor Jesus. Use it to bring people to yourself. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And before my message, Jan is going to sing. She's going to sing The Eastern Gate. And I just love this song. God bless you, Jan. And you know, there is a literal eastern gate in the walls of Jerusalem. And I don't know how many people over the years that I've told them, we've said, we'll meet just inside the eastern gate. And there's going to be a bunch there. And we'll meet Jesus. We'll see Jesus. And I know he'll just say, you just see your loved ones. This is heaven. And you see your loved ones. And those of you all different parts of the world, we're never going to see you in this life. But just inside the eastern gates, we're going to see you. And won't that be something? You know, there's a song that goes, Because He Lives. And we usually sing it at Easter, but it's a good song to sing anytime. And it's a song of victory and it's hope. And in the chorus of that song, it goes like this. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Think of that. All fear is gone. Not everyone can say that. There was a day the disciples couldn't say that. As a matter of fact, it was fear that made Peter deny his Lord three times. When Jesus so badly needed someone to help him and stand with him, when he needed a friend, Peter denied him. A little maid came and pointed her little old bony finger at him and said, "You're a Galilean, you're one of the Jesus bunch." And he swore that he didn't know him. He was afraid. He was afraid they might do to him what they just did to Jesus. And so fear was there. It was fear that made the disciples run for cover the night of Gethsemane. You remember? They says, all forsook him and fled. They were afraid. They were afraid of what might happen. And then when the news of his awful death came to the disciples, they all gave up hope and they all left and went back to their former occupation, which was a fishing business. So they were afraid. They were disheartened and afraid. Even after the resurrection, they were afraid and they were fearful, because in the scriptures it says that they were behind bolted doors, and they said those that lingered and stayed in Jerusalem were behind bolted doors because they were afraid that somebody was going to take them. Jesus, John speaks of this in his gospel, John chapter 20 and verse 19. He says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Great fear was in the camp of the disciples during the arrest and trial of Jesus, during his burial, and even after the resurrection. They were frightened. And then one day there came Pentecost. And on that day of Pentecost, they saw the full significance of the resurrection. That meant that the enemy was destroyed. That meant that Jesus had all power, that Jesus was the victor, and he transformed the lives of people, and he transformed the lives of the apostles, those who were so afraid for a time. And then all of a sudden now, they are fearless, and they preach the gospel, and they don't stop for anybody. That's what it was with Peter and John. They had to challenge the Sanhedrin because they were preaching, and they were fearless, and they have stood up for the Lord. They weren't afraid anymore. As a matter of fact, we're told in Acts chapter 5, verse 27-28, and when they had brought them, they set them before the court. That's Peter and John. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straightway command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Now that Sanhedrin was the supreme court of Israel. And though they were under Roman rule, they gave that Sanhedrin a lot of power. But you remember when they wanted to crucify Jesus, they didn't have power to do that. They had to go to Pilate, who was a Roman governor. But they let the Sanhedrin have a lot of power, and they could persecute people and put them in prison and do all sorts of bad things to them. So there were many illustrations of how that after that resurrection of Jesus Christ and after that great Pentecostal power, they were not afraid anymore. Let me give you one other illustration. It's Paul. He's at Lystra, and he's a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And and they hated him so much that they stoned him, and they thought he was dead, and they drug him out and put him out in the dump. Some people think that he was dead, but God brought him back to life again. Well, I don't know about that, but he sure could have. Either way, it doesn't matter. The fact is, let me read it to you. Acts chapter 14, beginning with the 9th verse. And there came there thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came back into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, they had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. It was the transformation of the disciples when they fully realized Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and they had that act of Pentecost. But the fact remains, they didn't fear anymore. They did at one time. They were scared to death. So do I. I would have been scared to death. I don't know about you. You probably would have stood up there and smacked him in the face, but I'd have run like a rabbit. Of all those disciples, I'll bet I'd be the head one leading them out of town. But after that great Pentecost, they weren't afraid anymore. And don't you know, we have people all over the world, Christian people, they're not afraid anymore. You can cut off our head, but we won't deny Christ. We won't step on the cross. We won't throw it away. That wonderful power of God, He makes us strong. And so I put some things here. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of death anymore. Since I've known Jesus and see Him in His power and His might, I'm not afraid of death. I thought death was the worst possible thing one time when I was a child. I was afraid of death. I was dreadfully afraid of death. And there's some people like that. They don't like to go to funerals. They won't go to funerals. They won't talk about death. They don't want any sermons about death. They're scared to death of death. But I'm not afraid of death anymore. Why? Because Jesus Christ conquered death and now holds no fears for me. Paul triumphantly writes about it like this. He says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we not fear death anymore. David talked about the same thing long time ago, even before he knew about the resurrection. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And he tells us why he's not afraid, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David isn't afraid. It's the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, I'm not afraid because Jesus is with me. He's guiding me and helping me. You know, there are many valleys in life. It's not just the shadow of death. In many valleys, there's the valley of sickness. Many of God's people walk this valley. We hear from them all the time. They're sick. They're ill. They've tried different medicines, and they can't be helped, and there's no fine help for them. They're down in that valley of sickness. There's the valley of financial loss and ruin, where the drought takes away, or a hail takes away, or the stock market goes out from underneath them, or a bad business adventure, and they're bankrupt and they're broke, and that's a horrible place to be when you can't pay your bills. There's the valley of disgrace and dishonor, falling into some temptation, saying something that brings disgrace and dishonor, and there you are. His reputation is ruined because of some slip he didn't make, watch his step or her step, and now they're disgraced before society. But I'm going to tell you, if that's happened to you, you get to Jesus, and the Good Shepherd can lead you out of that valley, and He can lead you till you'll have a constructive, dedicated life for Christ. Don't ever give up. There's always a second chance with Jesus. There's the valley of old age. Ageism is rampant in America. I know, I'm facing it all of the time. And they want to be careful about these old people and these old people that drive. And what are these old people doing around town? And in many parts of the world, they revere old age, but not in the USA. And so you can go to the Lord and you know that He's there with you and that you are of some value. Even though you may be old, you are valuable in God's sight. And maybe that outward body of yours is decaying, but that spiritual body inside is getting stronger. The age is getting old and decay. The spirit, that new spirit, is getting stronger every day. And you're not getting one day closer to the grave. You're getting one day closer to glory. Jesus can do that. I don't fear old age. I'm in old age. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time. Whenever you can't think of something, I tell them I'm 94. I need something, I tell them I'm in my 90s, and they run and get it. The kids help me out all the time. And I think I could even go out in the corner and get money with it if I had an old cap. You know, I'm saying, I'm 94, I need some help. I'll bet you I'd get some help. I might try that. There's the valley of bereavement. The closest on earth is taken away from you. We despair of life when a loved one is taken, as David cried out in the death of Solomon. Oh, my son Solomon, my son Solomon, would to God I had died for thee. Maybe you've lost your loved one. I think about every week we get somebody, a spouse is taken away. It's a hard time. But it's not the end of the world. And Jesus helps you and He'll use you and you're here for a purpose and for a reason. That last valley is the valley in life. And that is death, when we come to the death. But we don't fear anything then. And Paul says it about him. He says, when I live, he says, for me to live is Christ. And he says, to die is gain. It is a gain. The doctor says, prepare for the worst. And St. Paul says, prepare for the best. It's gain. It's just going to be wonderful. Well, so let's look at death. What about death? Before you can say how to handle death, you have to know what death is. What is death anyway? A long, long time, I didn't understand death at all. I remember when we went to Sunday school, my mother always had us learn a memory verse. And one of the memory verses was that she taught us was that she says, we're going to never die. We're going to live forever. It's taken from John chapter 11. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus said that. And I remember as a child, we had a memory verse, we'll never die. But people, our neighbors died. And then that we shall never die. And then we go to a funeral. And I wondered, I kind of wondered to myself, if there isn't death, what are we doing here at a funeral? And it doesn't make how do you figure that out anyway? And make it worse, the pastor would read from the Bible, whosoever liveth and believeth in me never die. And I thought, if he never dies, what are we doing? What's he doing in that coffin? And how do you figure this out? Well, you have to figure out what is death. What is death? Well, first of all, you have to realize that we are made, man is the composition of man. And we're made up of a spirit and a soul and a body. That's it. A spirit, a soul, and a body. St. Paul talks about that. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, he says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there you have the composition of man. It's a body and a spirit and a soul. Now the spirit and the soul lives in the body. That's St. Paul calls it a tabernacle, calls it a tent. It's a house. We live in this house. The spirit and soul live in this house, and they look through the windows, which is the eyes, and they look out. And so the spirit and soul are there, and so Paul calls it. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we read about this person. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, that is his body. So out of the dust of the ground, he makes this body. And then it says, Genesis 2, verse 7, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So he was just dust, and he's going to go back to the dust if we die. But in the meantime, spirit and soul lives in that body. So you see, Adam had a body, but he didn't have life. And so he's just a corpse, he's just a body. But then when he breathes into that dead body, he has life. And he receives the spirit and the soul, and so he gets life. And did you know something? That at the time of conception, when that sperm and that egg is united, That is a life. A soul is given. Did you know at the very time of conception that little being has DNA the first day, the first hour? It is a huge, they call it the fetus. It's insane. And so that when we have life, it means that soul and spirit is given to us by God. And God gives us, makes the body, and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus puts that spirit and soul in that body. And so I'll have life until one day, like with my wife Beulah, her spirit and soul left that body. And she's gone. And so that's what death is. It's just when the spirit and soul leaves the body, you see? That spirit and soul leaves the body, and it is gone forever, and it lives forever in heaven, or it lives forever in hell. And you decide where it's going to be. God doesn't decide for you. He doesn't say, well, you're in heaven, you're in hell, you're in heaven, so on. Oh, no. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So you decide where you're going to put your soul. And so we see this spirit and soul leaving, that means a person is dead. Remember the story of Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. His little daughter was 12 years old, and Jairus comes to Jesus, and he comes and he says, would you please come to my little daughter's dead? And Jesus goes to the house, and this is what we read, Luke 8, verses 55 and 56. Jesus took her by the hand and called her, saying, maid, arise. And look at what it says, and her spirit came again, and she arose. When the Spirit came, she had life. When the Spirit was, Jesus is on the cross. He dismisses his spirit, and he's dead. So when all death simply is just this spirit and soul leaves the body. And so when Jesus says we'll never die, it means that we're under sin, and our spirit is under blackness and darkness, and it's lost. It's under the kingdom of God, under the kingdom of Satan. And so when we accept Jesus Christ, he comes in and he takes away all of our sins and he puts us into the kingdom of light, and that spirit will live forever because he gives us eternal life. And when I was 10 years old, he gave me eternal life, 10 years old. I've had that in my body for 84 years. Someday I'm going to die, and then that spirit and soul will go, but I'll never stop living. I'll just live here. I'll live on that, have that eternal life here. Then it'll leave the body and just go on up into heaven. It's like one old pastor said, I'm going to live till I die, and then I'm going to live forever. See? And it's just leaving the body. And so that's what Jesus tells us about in John 3, verse 36. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Wrath of God abideth on him. So how do you have the Son? He that hath the Son hath eternal life. And so how do you have the Son? You have the Son by asking you into your life. There has to be that time. Now, the little babies all belong to the Lord. And those little children or those who have mental problems, if they're not able to account for anything, they all belong to the Lord. Jesus took the little children. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, because of such is the kingdom of heaven. They're all a part of my kingdom, baptism or not. All a part of my kingdom. And so, but then when we have one, we have to decide, do I want to be in the devil's kingdom? Do I want to be in Jesus' kingdom? And so when we want to go to Jesus' kingdom, we can't go into his kingdom with our sin. So we ask him to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we become his child. And so I don't fear death. I don't fear it anymore. And you don't need to fear it. You can look forward to it. Because the only thing I don't like about death is I know I have some friends and they might feel bad. That's the only thing I care about. Because I know that it's gain for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. That's right. St. Paul is right. And then I put down one other thing. I'm not afraid anymore about the hereafter. What lies beyond the grave? What am I going to face? What am I going to do? The pharaohs of Egypt thought that you should prepare for your hereafter. And so they put money and they put food. And sometimes they killed slaves to be in there with them, or even some of their people. They would die with them, so these slaves would be there to take care of them. And there is a king, a pharaoh called King Tutankhamun. And he was a young king. He died young. And in his cemetery, in his grave, his, grave room. The coffin is made of solid gold. It weighs 2,500 pounds, solid beaten gold. It is, and according to the Museum of Art in Switzerland, King Tut's tomb had a treasure of almost $750 million, with a B, dollars. Why? Because he feared death. He was preparing for death. What about all of my people? Well, it's just tough luck. You have to shoot for yourself, work for yourself. But the Pharaoh, he has a pyramid, and he has a death chamber that almost is a $750 million, probably more than that now. Well, they feared death. They were afraid of death. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You'll believe in God, believe also in me. Don't fear death. Don't prepare for death like that. Because just trust him and live. He is alive. He's the living Christ. And when we meet Jesus, and just Jan sang just a little bit ago about, I'll meet you inside the eastern gate. We'll meet Jesus. And you know, when we meet Jesus and we'll touch him and we'll see him, we'll see that he has big scars in his hands, big scars. He'll always have them. And we'll meet the Lord, we'll see the Lord. It'll be a great time. So I don't fear death. You don't need to fear death. You can look forward to it. We're happy to live here, and we're happy to be a blessing to help people. But, oh, I don't fear that. You say, well, aren't you a little presumptive? Don't you take a little bit for granted there? Who are you to say that what God's going to do and all? Well, listen to what Jesus said. He told me, he said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So as a 10-year-old child, I came to Jesus out in a country school. I knelt down at a little red recitation bench. We had a recitation bench. We had to sit on that recitation bench, and then the teacher would ask questions, and all the kids are in the same room. They're asking you questions. You didn't know the answers. Betty was in my class. She knew all the answers. I didn't know very many of them. I never did like Betty, but I did get, so I did like her later on. She was a wonderful Christian girl, sent money to the Christian Worship Hour, and she's with the Lord now. But the point simply is, we're not being presumptuous all. We're taking God at his word. So what does God say? Well, in John 5:24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has right now, this minute. We don't wait to die to see if we get it. We don't wait until we read the books and open the books. He says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Shall not come into condemnation means you have eternal life. You're not going to go into hell. You have everlasting life. You're going to go into heaven. Now, that's the word of God. That's the word of God. And then he promises again in John 10:28-29. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, do you see what he says? They're never going to perish. That is, they're never going to go to hell. That's what that means. It doesn't mean they aren't going to die. Sure, we're going to die. We're all going to die unless the Lord comes again. But he means we're not going to go to hell, he says. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I am holding them, Jesus says. They're not holding on to me. I'm holding on to them. And then he goes on. He says, my Father who gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So Jesus holds us and God holds us. And what more do you want? The great Creator has all power. Listen to what St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, as far as God is concerned, we're already in heaven. Paul writes, he hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is Christ Jesus? He's in heaven. We're in Christ Jesus. We're seated at the throne of God right now. The world will see it someday, but we have it right this minute. We don't die to get it. And he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his goodness and grace toward us through Christ. And so I'm just praying, friends, that you know Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus. Come to him today, and you don't have to fear anything. And you write to us, and we'll send you some scripture. I'm giving you the scripture. I'm giving you the place now. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you just say, Jesus, I want to be with you in heaven. I don't want these fears. And what does the Bible say? Perfect love casteth out fear. You don't have to fear the devil or death or anything else. And just come into my heart, dear Jesus. And I'll forsake my sins the best I can. I'll live for you, and I love you, and I thank you, Jesus. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'll see you in heaven just inside the Eastern Gate. So I'm praying that you'll make that prayer today. If you haven't, you pray it. And you write to us. It's on your screen there, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you scriptures. And those of you who are going through hard times and you're in deep waters and this fire is on you, I want to pray for you. Dear Jesus, I pray for those who may be in struggling today. Maybe they got bills they can't pay. Maybe the children are going wrong. Maybe the marriage is on the verge of breaking up. Maybe their health is gone and they can't get out of bed. Maybe they're confined to a wheelchair. Lord God, there's so many things. You know all about it. And I just pray that you'll help them to know that you love them and you will never leave them or forsake them. You'll be with them to the end of the age and you'll carry them through and help them through. Help them to know that, dear Jesus, and help them to lean on you, the everlasting arms, the precious Jesus who loves us and died for us. And so I just pray for each one. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you all for being with us today. We're all of us here. We're so glad we can have a service and worship with you. It's a spiritual worship service, and it's something that'll last for eternity. And we're praying you'll have a good week. We're praying that God will lean on Jesus. We're praying we can get back together next week. Maybe you can tell your friends, tune us in, join us. Send us a gift if you can. We'd appreciate that. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.